Unveiling the secrets A-list copywriters use to make themselves and their clients millions. This is the Copywriters Podcast with your host, the world's greatest copywriting coach, David Garfinkel.
I'm excited about today's episode because I'm always excited about these episodes, but this one, it hits the member berries for me. I grew up loving this topic that we're going to talk about today, so I'm excited to see what you got lined up for us.
Yeah, in fact, I think it's about a fictional town, you know, within an hour's drive of where you live. Anyway, let's get right to it. Today, we're going to talk about two words that can change your writing forever. Not just your copywriting, but especially your copywriting. And one of these words is a first grade word. And the second word is a fourth grade word, according to people who assign grades to words. The words are but, with one T, and therefore. Now, why are these words so important? And besides us, who says so? It's because these words can take a boring string of sentences and make them interesting. That's why they're important. They can add conflict and consequences to a story with as few as three sentences. We'll show you why and how this is true from stories around the world in a little bit. The key thing to know now is that the creators of the cartoon show South Park, Trey Parker and Matt Stone, have been flying around the country lately explaining how these two words make the difference between boring and a really good story. I saw a one-minute video on Twitter X of these two talking to some students at New York University, and I instantly realized this is something for Copywriters Podcast. Because what they are teaching, which we'll get to in a moment, not only applies to stories, but also to other parts of copy. Therefore, we'll be talking about these two words today. See what I did there? Because what they are teaching, which we will get to in a moment, not only applies to stories, but to many other parts of copy. Therefore, we will be talking about these two words today. And here's another surprise for everyone before we go any further. Copy is powerful. You're responsible for how you use what you hear in this podcast most of the time. Common sense is all you need, but if you make extreme claims and or if you're writing copy for offers in highly regulated industries like health, finance, and business opportunity, you may want to get a legal review after you write and before you start using your copy. My larger clients do this all the time.
You're having too much fun with the butt today.
I am. So this is the idea as Trey Parker and Matt Stone explain it. If you have a series of scenes or even events in a story and you connect them with the words and then over and over again, you're screwed. And they use the R-rated version of that word many times in the one-minute clip I watched online at their class at NYU. Now, why do they say this? They say this because if you keep saying, and then, there's no tension and no development, and the story connects all the events and scenes in a very ho-hum, everyday, uninteresting way. No conflict, no consequences. And conflict and consequences are at the heart of all great stories as they have been for centuries, which again, we'll get to in detail soon. Now, when you're telling a story, you don't say, John went out to play golf, but a conflict emerged in his golf playing plans. To talk that way would be ridiculous. What you would say would be something like, John went out to play golf, but a sudden rainstorm swept in over the Sierras and ruined his plans. The word but is great conversational shorthand for introducing conflict. And it does that job. Now, we'll give you five other simple everyday words and phrases to use in place of but. For now, though, we'll stick with but. See what I did there? I used though to create a mini conflict, giving the other words and phrases, even though will be one of them. Anyway, now to therefore. Let's go back to our good but potentially soaked friend John and finish the little story we were writing about him that his day of not golfing. John went out to play golf, but a sudden rainstorm swept in over the Sierras and ruined his plans. Therefore, he was forced to sit at home and watch YouTube videos all day.
Aw.
The word therefore describes the consequence of the conflict he faced. He couldn't play golf because it was raining. So, and this is where we use therefore, he was forced to watch YouTube videos instead. Now, here's an easy way to understand this whole thing. Imagine you're running a race and something very important will happen at the end of the race. You start at the starting line, but in this race, you have to make a U-turn in the middle and then you head back to the finish line. The thing is, because this is a metaphor, not real life, the finish line is different than the starting point in the race. The U-turn is the word but, keeps you from going in the same direction, and the finish line is the word therefore. It's the result or consequence of the turn you had to make, and it keeps the story and the race interesting. So keep this all in mind before we explore the fascinating world of but and therefore.
I just want to add one thing. Contrasting the word and to the word but and therefore, especially when it comes to writing and copywriting specifically, and gets so boring because it's just the same direction over and over and over again. But and therefore make your writing feel like a roller coaster where there's twists and turns, kind of like you mentioned the U-turn. There's just something about that that keeps people's eyes glued to the page. And I think that just keep that in your mind as you're listening to the rest of this, because that simple tweak is something that will keep people engaged with what you're writing.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that. One of the biggest challenges we face all the time is keeping our copy entertaining without telling jokes or singing and dancing, you know. And this is a way to do it, by having the flow of what we're writing be more like a roller coaster than a drive across Kansas. No shade on Kansas, but it's pretty flat. The roads are pretty straight. I've been there, I know. Nice place, though, but roads are pretty boring. Okay.
All the Kansas listeners just unsubscribed.
I know. There goes Kansas. Dang. All right. Sorry, guys. See you later. All right. So let's talk about why, but, and where, therefore, work. So I want to give you my own definition of story. And this is apart from what we're talking about today, but just to give you some context, my own definition of story is simpler and more inclusive than most of the ones you'll hear. My definition of story is like this. Something happened, something changed. Something happened, something changed. That's it. Now, the first thing that happens includes a conflict that requires a response from someone in the story, and the change after that response is what usually follows the therefore. And it's abstract, so let's look at some copy for starters so we can make it concrete. Just a couple lines. The first version uses and then, and the second one uses our but and therefore structure. So here's the first one. You might think it's impossible to sell profitably using YouTube ads, and then I found a way to make it work. And then I came up with a method you will be interested in learning about. You don't even need that melatonin, right? Ready to go to sleep? Okay. Versus, you might think it's impossible to sell profitably using YouTube ads, but I found a way to make it work. Therefore, I have a method you would be interested in learning about. I mean, just a huge difference, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. The first one doesn't even sound grammatically correct, but yeah, the first one is just like a and then.
You know who tells stories like that? Children tell stories. I mean, not the children in South Park, of course. They tell these very sophisticated stories because of Trey Parker and Matt Stone. But no, I mean, children, you know, well, we went to the park and I saw a giraffe. And, you know, that is, and it's okay. I mean, That's fine. That's like a kind of accurate recording of reality, but it's not interesting. Mm-hmm. I mean, it might be interesting to the parent, but it's not interesting as a general rule. I want to look at some examples across different kinds of writing to show you how they would have come across were they missing the button, therefore parts. So let's go way back to ancient Greece and look at a famous myth. And I'm going to just do three sentence description. First, I'm going to do it just using and then. Second time, I'll do but and therefore. Okay. First time, first version, Pandora receives a box from Zeus with instructions never to open it. And her curiosity eventually overwhelms her, and she opens the box, and then all the world's evils are released into the world, leaving only hope behind, explaining the origin of suffering and the endurance of hope in human existence.
And then...
Okay, now let's do it the other way, the right way. Pandora receives a box from Zeus with instructions never to open it, but her curiosity eventually overwhelms her, and she opens the box. Therefore, all the world's evils are released into the world, leaving only hope behind, explaining the origin of suffering and the endurance of hope in human existence.
Mm. You know what I like about that is you were talking about the story just needs something to happen and then somebody does something. The but and the therefore perfectly exemplify that.
Yeah. I mean, they just fall right into place to allow that to take place. Okay, let's do it with the movies. How about The Matrix? Okay, so we're going to do it without first. Neo discovers that reality is a computer simulation called The Matrix, and then he struggles to accept his role as the one who can save humanity. And then Neo must fully embrace his abilities and sacrifice himself to defeat Agent Smith, freeing humanity and offering them a choice between harsh reality and comfortable illusion.
Snore.
Right. With Neo discovers that reality is a computer simulation called The Matrix, but he struggles to accept his role as the one who can save humanity. Therefore, Neo must fully embrace his abilities and sacrifice himself to defeat Agent Smith, freeing humanity and offering them a choice between harsh reality and comfortable illusion.
I bet when they pitched the movie The Matrix, they used the second one.
I'm sure they did, or we never would have seen that movie. And let's do cartoon, and we're not going to do South Park because we've already given them way too much time. Let's do Tom and Jerry, old school, okay? So let's do it without. Tom the cat is tasked with catching Jerry the mouse. And then Jerry outsmarts Tom's increasingly elaborate schemes. And then their never-ending chase becomes a timeless representation of the underdog triumphing through wit and resourcefulness. Let's do it with. Tom the cat is tasked with catching Jerry the mouse, but Jerry constantly outsmarts Tom's increasingly elaborate schemes. Therefore, their never-ending chase becomes a timeless representation of the underdog triumphing through wit and resourcefulness. Now, what's interesting to me about this, and really all the examples so far, but this one, I think it just pops out so clearly, is it's basically the same words. It's just a couple of different words, but it takes on an entirely different meaning. Mm-hmm.
I would say also, as a reader, with the and then, it starts to feel like a chore to keep reading. And with the but, yeah, and therefore, it keeps me enthralled. It's an adventure rather than a chore.
Man, I love that point because one of the things I believe entertainment does is it makes the information that you're delivering from the reader's point of view or from the listener's, viewer's point of view, audience's point of view, makes it not seem like work anymore when it's entertaining. When it's not entertaining, the same information seems like work. Why is that? I don't know. We should bring on a neurologist sometime to explain that to us. But that's just the way it seems. I'm sure it has something to do with dopamine and serotonin and all that, but I don't know. I'm sure, but I don't know. How's that for a contradiction? All right. So let's get into history a little bit. Just a little bit. I mean, where did all this come from? Because Trey and Matt didn't invent conflict, but in consequence, therefore. Their genius invention was to boil it down to those two words, but to set up the conflict and therefore to deliver the consequence. But the idea of conflict and consequence as the two key plot points, that idea is as old as storytelling itself. In Western European thought, we can go back to Aristotle. In his work called Poetics, you know, 335 years before the Common Era, Aristotle discussed the importance of plot and tragedy and emphasized the need for a logical sequence of events. He argued that a good plot should have a beginning, middle, and end, with the events connected by necessity or probability rather than occurring one after another, occurring one after another, right? And he emphasized the importance of obstacles and reversal of fortune, which are closely related to conflict, but he never actually said conflict or consequences, as far as we know. And that didn't really come till 1912, when William Archer, maybe for the first time in Western culture, talked explicitly about the importance of conflict in drama. But this ain't just a Western European thing, though. For thousands of years, Native American culture passed down stories orally with consistent use of conflict and causality or consequences embedded in those stories. Many African cultures have long-standing oral traditions that also make good use of conflict and causality in their storytelling. Japanese storytelling has included elements of conflict and causality for years. Ancient Chinese teachers, including Confucius, taught about the importance of conflict and consequence in stories. And the same is true from ancient storytellers and teachers in India. Besides that, you'll find the same thing in just about every other culture, too. Bottom line, the reason I went around the world with this is that wherever you find people telling stories, you find conflicts followed by consequences. Everywhere, every country, every continent, every hemisphere, all both of them. Of course, yeah, of course there are cultural differences and there are nuances, but these two core elements, conflict and consequences, are always there.
I dig it. Let's just keep going.
So you might not want to constantly be saying, but, therefore, that could get a little old. So there are other words, and they're almost as good. I think, but, and therefore, most universally useful, but there's some other ones. So let's try the word however for instead of but. The team was favored to win the championship. However, their star player was injured in the final game. Therefore, they had to rely on teamwork and perseverance to secure the victory. Okay, yeah, that works. Nevertheless, John always dreamed of becoming a professional musician. Nevertheless, his parents insisted that he pursue a more traditional career path. Therefore, he found a way to balance his passion for music with his day job in finance. Poor guy. Okay, so nevertheless, that's a good one. Here's a phrase. It doesn't always work, but it could. To their surprise, or to his surprise, or to her surprise. To their surprise, the hikers were well prepared for their trek up the mountain. To their surprise, they encountered unreasonably harsh weather conditions. Therefore, they had to use their survival skills and work together to safely descend. And this is a good one for a lot of reasons. It creates urgency, kind of a hypnosis-inducing word, the word suddenly. The small town was known for its peaceful atmosphere. Suddenly, a series of mysterious events began to occur. Therefore, the residents had to band together to uncover the truth and restore their community's tranquility. Okay, suddenly. And finally, unfortunately, that can work. Unfortunately can be, you know, that U-turn word. The startup received substantial funding from investors. Unfortunately, unforeseen market changes threatened their business model. Therefore, the founders had to pivot quickly and innovate to keep the company afloat.
What I like about all of these is even though but and therefore help add twists and turns, they run the risk of the same thing of and then if we keep using but over and over again, but adding in suddenly or to their surprise or nevertheless, then it's a new twist. If you're on a roller coaster and every time that you hit a twist, it's a 90 degree angle with a 340 degree twist, it starts to lose the surprise. But if it's every time you hit that twist, there's a variation of it, it keeps it exciting.
Yeah, that's right. And yeah, so let's look at the same thing with therefore. There are, you know, a handful of words and phrases you can use instead of therefore. First one, as a result. The city planned a grand outdoor festival, but unexpected heavy rains threatened to ruin the event. As a result, the organizers quickly adapted by moving activities under large tents. Okay. Another one, consequently, which isn't bad since we're talking about consequences. Consequently, Sarah was a talented artist with a unique style, but galleries repeatedly rejected her work for being too ahead of the curve. Consequently, she decided to open her own gallery showcasing avant-garde art. All right. And subsequently, not my favorite word, but it works good. Tom had always been an excellent student, but he struggled with severe test anxiety during his final exams. Subsequently, he sought help from a counselor to develop coping strategies. Okay. In response, number four, in response, Maria had always dreamed of running a marathon, but a knee injury forced her to stop training for months. In response, she adjusted her goal to participate in a triathlon instead. Okay. And last one, ultimately. The space mission was meticulously planned for years, but a last-minute technical glitch threatened to abort the launch. Ultimately, the engineers worked around the clock to resolve the issue just in time.
Nice.
So the key thing to keep in mind is starting point, U-turn, and finish line. And the U-turn is the conflict or the obstacle, and the finish line shows us the consequences or the result.
I'm going to jump in real quick. We did an episode, 300 episodes ago, where we were talking about how to transition from one section of copy to the next and keep it flowing, keep it smooth, keep the reader engaged. And one of the things that I really remember about it is how powerful but and therefore can be inside of your copy from transitioning. You explain the pain point. Oh my gosh, it got so bad. Oh, you can see how horrible it is. But what if I told you about using that but or one of the variations of but to transition from the hell island to the heaven island, and then also coming to the conclusion of your sales piece using the therefore or a variation of therefore. Therefore, I wanted to tell you about this, or therefore, you should check out this. These things that we're going over over today, they're not just about storytelling. They can also be used to use that U-turn and that finish line part in your sales copy as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, in fact, they are great transitions. I mean, you know, Aristotle talked about a reversal of fortune. There's some studio executive in Hollywood who's now homeless who just sits on the sidewalk and screams, reversal of fortune, reversal of fortune. Ah. And it is. It's literally, you know, you're reversing, not fortune necessarily, but a direction. So yeah, both of those words are, you know, very effective, compact transitions. All right, what I want to do finally is really zero in on copy. And I put together some persuasion stories. And again, they're very short, and I'm going to read them just with, and then the next thing I'll do is read them using but and therefore. So here's an inventor's origin story. My dog had severe food allergies, and I couldn't find any treats that didn't trigger a reaction. And then I started researching pet nutrition and experimenting in my kitchen. And then I developed a hypoallergenic natural, all-natural treat. And Pure Snacks is now a leading brand for pets with sensitive stomach. All right, let's try it another way. My dog had severe food allergies, making it impossible to find suitable treats. But I refused to give up, so I started researching pet nutrition and experimenting in my kitchen. I spent months perfecting the recipe using only natural hypoallergenic ingredients. Therefore, Pet Snacks was born, becoming a leading brand for pets with sensitive stomachs and providing peace of mind for pet owners everywhere. Right?
Much better.
Yeah. All right. Let's try about something, a persuasion story about something new or unfamiliar. And if this doesn't freak you out, Nathan, and I know this is going to be a risk, I know you're going to like it, but I'm not sure you're going to, might freak you out. Version one, imagine controlling your home just with your thoughts. And then it sounds like science fiction, and it's now a reality with our new Neuro Home system. And it uses a sleek, comfortable headset to read your brainwaves. And then you can turn on lights, adjust the thermostat, and even start your coffee maker, all by just thinking about it. And then it's as easy to use as any other smart home system, and it adds a layer of convenience and accessibility that's never been possible before.
Man, the and thens were so disruptive that I can't even be horrified.
Okay, let's see if we can do a better job horrifying you with this one. Imagine controlling your home with just your thoughts. It sounds like science fiction, but now it's a reality with our Neuro Home system. It uses a sleek, comfortable headband to read your brainwaves, allowing you to control various aspects of your home environment. But unlike other traditional smart home systems that require voice commands or app interactions, Neuro Home responds directly to your thoughts. Therefore, you can turn on the lights, adjust the thermostat, even start your coffee maker, all by just thinking about it, adding an unprecedented layer of convenience and accessibility to home automation. Brought to you by Robot Overlords.
See, that way, I've flipped to the opposite side. Now I want to call Elon Musk and have him tinker with my brain.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay. Boy, that story was effective. All right, let's try. You know, there are three kinds of testimonials, right? There are authority testimonials where, you know, somebody endorses you who's really, you know, important and respected. There's results testimonials, which is what we mostly want and think about. And then there are experience testimonials, which are the kind of testimonials most people get. They talk about what their experience is like. So let's do an experience testimonial first with the bad connectors and then with the good ones.
Oh, wait, before we even do this. Mm-hmm. I want to say this is something that copywriters run into all the time, because when asking for testimonials, we're not asking other copywriters. We're asking the average person, and the average person is likely to make this mistake more often than a copywriter is.
Oh, yeah. Great point. Yeah. And so this might be a very easy way to fix it, mm-hmm. to fix a testimonial. Yeah. Okay, good. So let's go with this. I was skeptical about trying online yoga classes, and then I signed up for YogaFlow, and I was pleasantly surprised by how user-friendly the platform was, and the instructor's voice was clear and soothing, and I felt like I was in a real studio, and then I could easily follow along, and I finished my first yoga session feeling relaxed and accomplished, and now I look forward to my daily yoga flow sessions. All right, let's try the second version. I was skeptical about trying online yoga classes, but I decided to give yoga flow a chance, and I was pleasantly surprised by how user-friendly the platform was. The instructor's voice was clear and soothing, making me feel like I was in a real studio. Therefore, I could easily follow along and finish my first session feeling relaxed and accomplished. Now I look forward to my daily yoga flow sessions, as it has become an essential part of my wellness routine.
I love it. I have a question for you real quick. I often get testimonials that are problematic, like the first one was. And what I usually do is I make a couple tweaks and I send it back to the person and I say, hey, Is this okay? This doesn't change the spirit of what you were saying. It just reads a little bit better. Are you okay if I use this version rather than the version that you sent over? And as long as I get the okay, that's how I usually handle this problem.
Mm-hmm.
Your thoughts on that approach, or do you have any other insight?
Well, you know, it's always a battle between authenticity on the one hand and persuasive power on the other hand, right? Mm-hmm. And I mean, as copywriters, that's one of our, you know, rare skills that we really work on, being authentic and persuasive at the same time. I think what you're doing is exactly what you should do. I think the more, well, I would say the more it can be in their own words, the better, but sometimes people are needlessly repetitive, or they go way off on rabbit trails, off topic.
I'm just thinking about reading a sales page that is just knocking over every single domino, and then I get to the testimonials and all of a sudden it's a huge train wreck. And that's like, especially if your testimonials are towards the end of your sales page, that's like a copywriter's worst nightmare.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think what you're doing is right. I think the most important thing for a testimonial is to be authentic, but right up there, very close, is needs to support the sales argument on the sales page. So, mm-hmm.
All right. Do you mind doing a recap? We've kind of went off trail a couple times. I'd love to get back on.
Yeah. So we covered a lot today. I mean, the lesson is pretty simple. You tell stories wherever you can, but even when you're not telling a story, don't just make a string of events when you can include conflict and consequence. And you can do it by saying this, but this, therefore this. And when you do that, your stories will be much more interesting. And when you use them in copy, you'll make a lot more sales.
Nice. And real quick, before we're out of here, you actually have a book filled with a bunch of different stories that also include this lesson in them. Shout out the book and where people can go to get it.
Yep, absolutely. Here it is. It's The Persuasion Story Code. You can get it on Amazon. And there are persuasion stories. Now, we don't talk about button therefore in the book, just to be clear, but we make it very easy to write the stories. And if you read the whole book, you get a free link at the end where you can get templates for these stories. I mean, we couldn't make it easier to write stories, and it's called The Persuasion Story Code. It's available only on Amazon, and we'll put a link in the show notes. Mm. Yeah.
We didn't talk about but and therefore in the book, but we did cover it in this podcast. Therefore, if you listen to the podcast and read the book, you'll be fully armed to go out and get more sales.
Nathan, you're dangerous.
All right. And if you want a quick link to the book, it will be in the show notes over at copywriterspodcast.com. And until next time, and then there'll be another episode. We'll see you next week.
See you then. Bye. Stories are the most powerful way to get and hold a prospect's attention. Of course, you already know that. But the problem many of us have had is, even though stories are absolute magnets for getting attention, they don't do that much to advance the sale. That's because the way most of us have been taught to tell stories was not with persuasion in mind. I decided to change that. So I looked at what I had learned in studying story and writing copy for decades, as well as coaching all-star copywriters. What I had learned about stories that persuade, and I wrote a book. It's called The Persuasion Story Code. It tells you exactly how to create and use stories to move the sale forward. Lots of stories. I'm including examples of 25 different kinds, with step-by-step guidelines for putting your own persuasion stories together. You can get The Persuasion Story Code on Amazon.com. Check it out. You'll be glad you did.
This is the Copy and Funnels Podcast Network.